two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic, the follow-up report.
Following up on a story that we covered extensively here on the Dave and Dujanovic show, was the pay-to-play. High-powered people with lots of money, including Aunt Becky from Full House. Remember her? She paid to try to get her kids into a water polo program at USC. $500,000. She got busted by the FBI. One of the other cases goes to trial today, and it's a dad, and I want to talk about what he did in a moment, Dave. But it raised this question in my mind. At what point do you tell your kids, look, you just stink at this sport? You ain't going to college on a water polo scholarship. You don't qualify for your own high school basketball team. Sorry, but you ain't going to college on that. I'm not paying $500,000 to sneak in.
I had that conversation with basically all of my kids.
Ouch.
I said, we do not play sports. We do not play sports to play college. We play sports because we love them. We do it because we want the millions of things that it offers, except the scholarship. We don't play for the scholarship. We don't play to go to the next level. And the reason I said that very early on is because I know how competitive it is. I know how good you have to be to play college level baseball, basketball, soccer, football, whatever it might be.
And because you don't have $500,000 to bribe USC.
Well, if you're going against that as well, you're never getting in. But I don't think this is so much about the sports as it is these parents and the parents' ego that is so high that we have to send our kid here. We have to send our kid to USC no matter what. And I don't care what I have to pay. I don't care what workaround I need to do. We're getting them into USC, USC or bust.
Before I get into the case that's supposed to go to trial today, let me do a little recap, a little refresher. This happened, what year was that? A couple years ago. And really, this story kind of bubbled up because of Aunt Becky. When Lori Loughlin and her husband were accused by the feds of paying like $500,000 to get their two non-water polo girls, daughters, into USC. And they were busted by the FBI. They became part of this big sweeping investigation that unfolded. Finally, 57, you know, some odd parents were indicted on federal charges. Aunt Becky ends up going to prison for a couple of months for her role in the scandal. And here we are, you know, where we have yet another, well, most of them have pled guilty. Like, they're okay, because they were on wiretaps.
And they were super guilty.
You could hear, you know, them talking to the ringleader. And so they had them, right? They had them and they pled guilty. But there's a few holdouts who think they can convince a jury they're not guilty, Dave. And one of them is this dad. I'm going to tell you about him in a moment. But how did your kids take that conversation?
About you're not good enough to play sports?
Yeah.
Very well. In fact, I think it took a lot of pressure off them.
Really?
That they could just enjoy it. I think too often we look at destinations instead of the process. You know, if you're good enough to play in college, then colleges will find you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, then they probably won't. The chance that you were overlooked is very slim. If you're good enough to play, you'll play. If you're not, you're not.
So there's this dad whose trial is set for today back in the Boston area. And he is accused of paying $300,000 to get his daughter into USC. Apparently not good enough to even make the high school varsity basketball team, but he was going to pay to allow her to play at USC on their women's basketball team. You know, now he's facing Aunt Becky's fate, right? I mean, he's facing prison time. But I want to get beyond that conversation. I want to talk about parents who refuse to have that conversation with their kids, that you just aren't qualified to play that sport. Here's the conversation I think that got missed by a lot of parents when I saw, you know, their kids kind of struggling on the field. You're going to get hurt. You're actually going to get hurt playing baseball with a kid who throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. But we can find something else for you to do. Let's explore lots of different options. I think parents are afraid to have that conversation with them. And maybe it goes to what you said, Dave. Maybe it's ego. It's their own ego. They're living vicariously through their children. They've got to have that conversation. Because this $300,000 that this dad wanted to pay or did pay, I guess we'll see in court, to get his daughter, his non-basketball playing daughter into USC is ridiculous.
Well, there's two things going on here. There's the parents that want to get their kids on a college team no matter what, right? No matter what it costs, whatever donation I got to make, there's parents that are looking at it that way. There's also, in this scandal, one of the reasons why sports got caught up into it is because making a sports team is an easier path to admission into a top school than just straight up grades. So, for example, at USC, you have to have a 34 ACT. You have to have a GPA that's a 3.8. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to get in unless you hit those standards, right? But if you're an athlete, you don't have to hit those standards. And this is very common across the country. Mm-hmm. You can get under the radar as long as you play a sport. So if I'm a football player, I don't need the 3.8 GPA. I don't need the 34 ACT, which is very, very difficult. So that's what parents were doing. This is why they were trying to get their kids in on the rowing scholarship.
When they don't row?
When they don't row. Or the basketball team, when they're terrible.
Photoshopping faces of their kids onto water polo professionals.
Yes.
And sending those to colleges like Yale to see if they could get them in. So basically they're duping the system two ways, it sounds like.
Yes.
They're duping them because they're taking an athletic spot. They're never going to be qualified to play anyway. And they're also cheating them into a degree from a prestigious college.
Right. Yeah. And it's I think what really goes to the core of this scandal and why it feels so icky is because I want to know that my child can or cannot go to a school based on their accomplishments. And I don't want somebody that cheated the system taking away a spot, because there's a limited amount of spots in every college.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my kid that worked his butt off and got good grades and took all the classes and took their education seriously to miss out on a spot because someone cheated the system. That's why I think the FBI got involved, because we're talking about scholarships. We're talking about, a very
bribes.
Prestigious degree. And if you bribe your way into those things, of course, somebody needs to step in. I'm glad the FBI did so.
Straight ahead, I'm going to get Dr. Tom Golightly. He's a psychologist from BYU. He weighs in on the show a lot on these types of issues. And I wanted to ask him to role model for us how to have this really hard conversation with your children that, look, we don't have $500,000 to sneak you in the back door at USC or at Yale or at Harvard. And quite frankly, you're just not qualified. You you know, you're not athletic enough to play that sport anyway. How do we have those conversations starting tonight at the dinner table with our own kids and not hurt their feelings too much?
Dave and Dejanovic.
Well, one of the Varsity Blues cases heads to trial today back on the East Coast. And so Dave and I are talking about these parents who are paying to get their kids into these prestigious athletic programs at a lot of colleges around the country. I mean, Aunt Becky comes to mind. Her real name is Lori Loughlin. She was in Full House, and you know, she served a couple of months in prison, Dave, for her role in the scheme. But there's like 50-some-odd other parents who did not have that harsh conversation with their kid. Like, look, you're just not qualified. You're not athletic enough to play basketball at USC or row for Harvard or you name it. They didn't have it. We're going to have it right now.
This isn't just a conversation amongst these families, right? This is something that's happening in Little League. It's happening in competition leagues all across the country, whether it's comp baseball, comp softball, comp soccer, whatever it is your kid, I can almost assure you, your kid is not nearly as good as you think they are. And I know this because I played competitively growing up. I'm a coach. I'm a competitive coach, a comp coach. And I can tell you, I deal with a lot of parents. And although my parents are amazing on my team, I've seen a lot of parents over the years that just have absolute blinders on when it comes to their kids. They think they are incredible. And they're just not nearly as good as you think they are.
In 1 minute, we're going to get Dr. Tom Golightly, a psychologist with BYU, to weigh into the conversation. And how can we start these conversations without just throwing our kids into despair that they're not good enough in general? I had this conversation with my kids when they were little about soccer. Lizzie and CJ, my two oldest, they're not good at running. And soccer requires a lot of running. Baseball and softball don't require as much running. And you could also hit it out of the park and run slowly around the bases and still get a home run. So we ended up pulling them out of soccer. First of all, we didn't even understand the rules as parents because we never played it. So it wasn't a good fit for us to help coach them, Dave. But also, they just weren't good at running. And I also knew they weren't that into it because on Saturday mornings when I say, hey, it's time to get ready for soccer, they would both thrust themselves onto the floor and scream, no, not soccer, not soccer, Mom. So we said, you'll play baseball and you'll play softball. And it worked. They went to school on scholarships, college on scholarships.
Yeah, they were very good. They played at smaller colleges, right? But still playing college is an accomplishment no matter where you end up playing. But again, even in the college world, whether you're playing at a D3 school or you're playing at a D1 school or you're playing at a P5 school, if you're playing at USC, if you're playing at UCLA, if you're playing in Notre Dame, there is a difference. There is a tier. And I can tell you, it's a difficult conversation to have with your kids when you as a parent have to say, you know what, you're not playing because you're not as good as the people in front of you. And this is a conversation I've had several times, I think specifically with my daughter who plays softball. And I remember several years ago, she was really angry. She's like, Dad, why am I hitting at the bottom of the lineup? I'm dead last. I don't want to hit dead last anymore. So I said, okay, well, let's go through this. Let's go through every single player and let's talk about who you should be hitting in front of.
I love that you did that.
And we did. We went through all 10 players and we discussed the pros and the cons, what they're good at, how she compared. And by the end of the conversation, she realized she was hitting exactly where she should have, at the bottom of the lineup. And I said, you want to get better? Okay, then let's work toward that. Mm. But let's not pretend we're better than we are, that we're not where we are. That is delusional. So let's be honest. And that has been a conversation we've had every single year since, to realize, and do you know what she's learned? That she's usually hitting exactly where she thinks she should and where the coach thinks. Mm. It usually lines up.
Dr. Tom from BYU?
Yes, ma'am.
You're the psychologist in the conversation. Did Dad Dave do the right thing by talking daughter Aubrey through the lineup the way he did?
That really well done. I'm very impressed. that's actually something that most parents are afraid of, is that honest conversation. And it's not about worth or judgment. It's just, let's make a clinical, factual observation about what's going on. And we're worried that we're going to either crush confidence or we're going to impact their worth. But that's a really important component of understanding what sport really is, which is, it's not to earn love or worth from other people.
And that's a tough one, because a lot of kids do get their worth, their confidence from their success. I'm varsity this. I'm a starting that. I'm captain of this. How do you disentangle those things?
Well, a large part is identity development. And one thing that we work with, and I work with a lot of college student athletes and high school student athletes as well, identity tends to be what we call foreclosed, meaning they form it too early. And some of it is because they are good at something and they get attention for it. And when they get that reinforcement for something that they enjoy doing, they stop looking to other ways or other areas or activities to define themselves. And so it then becomes an over-identification with one area of their life. And when they aren't seeing the success or they aren't getting the reward that they thought they would get, it throws them for a little bit of a loop. And so a parent can step in and be honest, but also come in with, hey, we love you. You don't have to be an all-star. You don't have to be all-state for us to love you. That's not why we had children, right? And so it's important that we find the values that are important for them and why they play, and help them live congruent to those values, as opposed to earning love or worth or respect from other individuals.
Dr. Tom Golightly, he's a licensed psychologist and also the assistant director of athletics at BYU. Start that conversation for us tonight at the dinner table, when we know our kids probably aren't qualified to be, you know, the center for the high school basketball team, and we've got to break the news to them. How does that conversation start, Doctor?
Well, a lot like what Dave said, they might come by and say, I'm just as good. Okay, tell me what that means to you, right? What do you see them doing? What do you see yourself not doing? What's difficult about sports sometimes is it's a combination. There is some inherited talent that you get, but then are you working on it? And if you've maximized your work and the talent just isn't there, it's okay. And you know, as a parent of high school athletes, I want them to be their best selves. I don't need them to be the captain. I don't need them, again, to be the starter. But as we're talking about specific positions, it's like, okay, well, what are your goals? And if you're not at that point, what do you want to work toward? And again, I think alluding to those values, if you set up a goal structure like, hey, do these things, that's what you can control. A lot of times we're worried about it being a coach's decision or a political decision. I hear that a lot. This is so political. You know, we don't control any of that. But what you can help your child understand, and this is a great life lesson moving forward, is that there are things that you can do. Do those things, and then let go of trying to do or worry about things that you can't control.
Dr. Tom, thanks for joining us. It's one of the things I preach to my softball team, Debbie. I said, there's two things you can control, attitude and effort. That's what you can control. The rest, it falls on coaches. And if we make a decision you don't like, that's on us, the coaches. But what you can control, your attitude and your effort.
Straight ahead, we're going to dive into a mystery that Utah, for some reason, plays a part in. Garner Mejia of KSL Television has been tracking the disappearance of a young woman from New York, and she drove through Utah at some point just a few weeks ago. Garna with the details next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.